The scripture is Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me.
Dear brothers and sisters, as I visit church members and talk with them, I find some of them discouraged or disheartened for not having received a measure of faith or having failed to grow in faith despite their hard efforts and earnest longing. I believe you've experienced the same or seen people of this kind around you. Our beloved shepherd once emphasized that if you have perfect longing, you can certainly come into spirit. Years ago, Father God also advised us in his prophetic words that to ride on the flow of spirit, it requires us to have an earnest, desperate, and longing heart. Also, today's scriptures say, I love those who love me. So I prepared today's message based on senior pastor's previous sermons, One Who Longs for Spiritual Things, preached on August 2007, and Longing, preached on April 5th, 2009, and delve into how we can achieve perfect longing in our daily lives, ride on the flow of spirit, and thus quickly grow our faith. First, dictionary defines the word longing as a strong desire for something or someone. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 says, Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. And embedded in the meaning of the word longing is a woman desperately longing for and missing her husband. Thus, when we long for spirit, it signifies we earnestly and desperately seek and pursue spirit without wanting anything else. And the word heart, spiritually, our innermost heart is how our heart has solidified. And our heart, innermost heart, can be divided into good innermost heart and bad innermost heart. So there are degrees in our longing. So if we long from the heart, it means that our heart has solidified 100%. Namely, once we long for something, we just keep earnestly longing without changing or wavering. So if you fail to change yourself despite your longing for spirit, this indicates that you lack earnest, perfect longing from the heart. Then what should we do to achieve perfect longing from the heart? First, we have to look back whether we really have longing. Namely, we shouldn't misconceive our physical enthusiasm as longing. If we don't realize our lacking aspects, we can't change ourselves. To help you examine how perfect your longing is, let me provide you with some examples. First, we may have illusions in this area. While we diligently arm ourselves with the words and pray, we must conceive that we have longing. Of course, there's no doubt arming ourselves with the words and praying is the most basic and important deed in fulfilling the 101%. Yet, even while we arm ourselves with the words, if we fail to apply them to ourselves, we can't make life and strength of them. We should always engrave the words in our heart and try to discover fleshly attributes with the help of the Holy Spirit. Of course, discovering them is not everything. Once we discover them, we have to hold fast to them in prayer until we root them out. Namely, with fervent prayer, we should bring down God's strength, shatter our ego, and scorch our sinful and evil nature with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Here, praying fervently doesn't just refer to praying hard and earnestly. But it refers to praying with a mournful heart, rending our heart to completely throw away evil. If you doze off or have idle thoughts in prayer, no matter how much you pray, it's difficult for you to change yourself. The same goes for fasting. You shouldn't be satisfied merely with not eating anything. Even when you feel tired during fasting, you should struggle more to bring down God's strength and change yourself. Only then can you change quickly. Hopefully, as you strive to arm yourself with the words, pray, and fast, you will do these things spiritually so that God can be pleased and provide His great grace and strength. This is the act of longing for spirit. And the same goes for our faithfulness. Being faithful to God's kingdom is a significant and fundamental factor in our fulfilling 1% justice. But we have to make sure our faithfulness is spiritual faithfulness that pleases God. As we work faithfully, if we don't seek God's glory but our own, feel upset about our not being recognized or not being given significant duties, thereby breaking peace with others, God is not pleased with this. Senior pastor taught us if we complain and grumble while working for God's kingdom, the rewards we piled up crumble down, then our faithfulness becomes meaningless. Our work for God should be done with spiritual faithfulness. If we end up working for God only physically, God isn't pleased at all. Spiritual faithfulness is the circumcision of our heart. For those who work for Him physically, God provides chances for spiritual faithfulness. God allows them to encounter situations where they discover their evil attributes. Yet, if they don't acknowledge themselves, their evil attributes, but only put the blame on others, they miss out on the opportunity to circumcise their hearts. Hopefully, you will strive more in spiritual faithfulness, so not only will you be zealous in physical work, but also develop perfect longing for spiritual things. Next, even while some people confess they long for spirit, they don't follow man of spirit. Once a little baby knows the sweet taste of candies, he won't let go of candies from the hand, refusing to exchange them for anything, even if that's a $10 bill, because candies are most valuable to him. But once he recognizes the value of money, he will exchange it for even a dollar bill. The same goes for us. Because we don't realize the true value of spirit, if we fail to give up fleshly things, but if we truly realize its value from our hearts, we can let go of any fleshly things. In Matthew chapter 13, heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. If we really feel heaven as treasure, we have to let go of all what we have. We can sell all what we have. The Apostle Paul confesses in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, you earnestly long to enter New Jerusalem. If we can qualify for New Jerusalem just by enduring someone striking us on our cheek hundreds or thousands of times, it's more than worthwhile to do so. Even if we get stricken on our cheek hundreds or thousands of times, it's worthwhile to do so. But let alone getting stricken on our cheeks, when someone seems to ignore you a little, do you feel your pride getting hurt and lose the fullness? Do you find it difficult to lower and humble yourself while riding on the flow of spirit? Before I myself came into spirit, when senior pastor advised us to follow the man and women of spirit, as a pastor in the highest position and having been with this church since its foundation, I had such arrogant thoughts. Even if they come into spirit, they still have deficiencies in my eyes. Should I necessarily meet them? Around that time, I had a chance to meet the shepherd with other fellow pastors. He lamentably said, looking at us, "Whenever I see you, I'm so embarrassed that I want to crawl into a hole somewhere." He advised us like this. As I pondered on his word in my prayer, I was repeatedly reminded of testimonies and sermons delivered by men of spirit. Then it dawned on me that once they experienced God's grace, they steadfastly strive to come into spirit with the desire to pay back His grace. As I compare myself to them, I feel so embarrassed that I also felt so embarrassed and ashamed of myself, and I became desperate and thought I would even kneel down before pastors who have better hearts than me, even if they are younger. At this point, I figured out why the shepherd meant. Thereafter, as I met some people of spirit, I was touched by their advice. In addition, God looked at my humble heart and poured much grace for me to repent thoroughly, and in turn, I could feel my longing grow stronger. It served as a great turning point for my spiritual change. God checks our measure of faith not to discriminate between superiority and inferiority or embarrass those who fail to receive it. God offers us a chance for those with higher levels of faith to look after those who are weaker in faith, and for those with weaker faith to learn from people with stronger faith. Even while you profess to long for spirit, if you are not humbling or lowering yourself, that longing couldn't be perfect. Therefore, if you find yourself having failed to lay yourself down completely, you shouldn't have an illusion that you know about or long for spirit. Next, there are cases you think you are longing for spirit because you shed tears, touched by the shepherd's love. Because before I came into spirit in 2013, from January to March, there was a time our shepherd received the sword of punishment on behalf of pastors and Levite workers. One day, during Daniel prayer meeting, an image where the shepherd was stained with blood after receiving the sword of punishment was overlapped with the scene in which our Lord carried the cross and bled with his hands and feet nailed through. At that moment, this question came through my mind. If my Lord stretched out his hand to me, what would I do? Holding his hand. What would I do if my shepherd held out his bloody hand to me? With these thoughts, I bitterly wept and cried to the point where I couldn't pray properly. After this, I actually expected that my faith must have increased a lot because I strongly felt the Lord's and the shepherd's love. But it turned out that my measure of faith rose by only 1%. I realized that no matter how much I feel the shepherd's love and mournfully shed tears, it's no use if I fail to discover fleshly attributes and shatter them. Of course, it's such great grace that we can realize the shepherd's love and shed tears. But in order to shed tears, not just emotionally, but truly from the depths of our heart, we should be ready to unsparingly give up ourselves because we are so much thankful for His love. This is the longing from the heart. Lastly, it is a case in which you profess you have a longing heart, but you can't lay down what you've done in the past. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 say, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." At the 2012 Church Leaders Seminar, we learned that one of the reasons that prevents some church leaders from coming into spirit is that they think, "I've long been faithful and I've been helping the shepherd." Such thoughts develop into frameworks of arrogance. As they dwell on who they were or what they did, they are held back from having spiritual longing. But I'm not saying here all what you've done were in vain. Father God remembers how faithful and good you were, pays you back, and causes to satisfy the justice for Him to lead you on to the blessed path. But if your pride in your past duties, grace, and experiences hold you back from riding on the flow of spirit through arrogant thoughts, you have to be wary of them. No matter how greatly you were used by God and received His grace, if you currently find yourself lagging behind, you should rather feel ashamed of it and strive more with a humble heart. God provides His grace to those who humble hearts. Humbleness and longing go together. When we forget the past and completely lower and humble ourselves, we can develop stronger longing hearts. As I look back, There's one thing I'm so thankful for. Back in 2011 Church Leader Seminar, I failed to get my measure of faith checked. Yet, as a great parish leader, I didn't have even a hint of depressed or ill feelings about my subordinates, about my parish leaders being ahead of me in the measure of faith. Rather, I only felt sorry about having failed to achieve a heart of spirit, even though I'd been given much grace and appointed to such a precious title, position. If I had been to choose between spirit and the position of a great parish leader, without any hesitation, I would have chosen spirit. Our beloved senior pastor, after the personnel appointment in 2012, I talked about this with Pastor Daehijo, because my parish leader, our parish leaders, have already become a man of spirit. They would become great parish leaders. So if they are appointed to great parish leader position, we will have to be obeying them. We have to be obedient to them. So, but Father God knew that the shepherd was hovering our heart, hovering us. So God allowed us to stay in my position of great parish leader. So when I notified the shepherd of this, he gave me warm words of advice. And senior pastor, I knew what he meant. Because he hovered us, we were allowed to be given such titles. He asked again. I told him that I thanked him for hovering us, and the senior pastor nodded and encouraged us, because parish pastors under your leadership are men of spirit. You have to follow them well. He advised us this way. Hearing this, we tried more to follow the men and women of spirit, so we were happily carrying out our duties respectively. To achieve perfect longing from the heart, second, we should unsparingly give up ourselves. Back in the ancient Chinese history, there was the great general Han Xun. He was from the king's family of Han State, which collapsed during the Year of Confusion. He had an earnest desire to revive his state. Having outstanding strategies, he harbored a great plan of unifying China if we found a good master. He carried around the sword, which had been cherished as treasure and passed down to him. He also excelled in martial arts, according to historical records. One day, on the street, he encountered a group of gangs and got involved in a big fight. He could have beat them and knocked them down and even killed them. But if he did so, he would have become a murderer and thus live as a fugitive, and thus couldn't fulfill his dream. So as the gangs demanded, he endured the humiliation of crawling between their legs. Later, he became a great general whose name goes down in history. The same kind of story is found in the Bible. When David fled to the Philistines in exile, the royal officials recognized him. The royal officials told about the Israel women singing, the King Saul killed thousands, while the David killed tens of thousands. So at this, David disguised his sanity before them and acted insanely in their hands and scribbled on the doors of the gate and let his saliva run down into his beard. If General Han Xun and King David had tried, they have never acted, behaved themselves in that way. But because General Han Xun had a great plan to reunify China, And because the King David had a great hope to become the king later, they could shatter their ego, let go of themselves. Brothers and sisters, even while we hesitate, time passes away without waiting for us, and we can never turn it back. The opportunity is not always around us. We should resolutely let go of insignificant things for a greater purpose. If we indeed long for spirit, we have to be able to give up anything decisively and put the truth into action. Only then can our faith become perfect through these. There's a praise lyrics that goes like this. We break our perfume. In Israel, there is because back in at the time, the container of perfume was not hard as that we use today. So no matter how valuable, how expensive perfume there was, without breaking the container, they couldn't pour the perfume on someone's feet. We also have to break our container of the perfume. As I visit families with problems of their children, I first examine the family situations and point out the parents' problems. Most of them acknowledge their faults. Just as our shepherd taught us, I advise them to kneel down before their children for an apology. At first they say amen, but if I check up on them later, they fail to do so because they can't give up their ego. So their problems remain unresolved. When parents admit to their faults and kneel down to apologize, their children, who are still naive, easily open their hearts. But some parents fail to give up their ego because they have strong pride as parents. The same goes among brothers and sisters in faith. If you humbly admit to your faults and take courage to stretch out your hand for an apology, you can make peace. Just as we always sing during the dinner prayer meeting, the lyrics goes like this. I should stretch our hands first. We always sing that during dinner prayer. But as you fail to do this, the relationship remains uncomfortable. Dear brothers and sisters, even though you have big awakening and experience His grace, if you just keep it in your heart, you can't develop stronger longing. Only when you resolutely give up your ego and put the truth into action can you develop eagerer longing by which you can put greater things into action. Preparing this sermon, I was reminded of this. People of old generation, having gone through poverty, when they move out, they are reluctant. They don't want to throw away old items, no matter how old they are. As they have more things to bring into their new place, they can't adorn their house with brand new items. To decorate their house beautifully and neatly, they should decisively discard old items so that they can get more space to fill in with new items. Brothers and sisters, I challenge you to give up your ego completely. Thirdly, we should feel the shepherd's love more deeply and engrave it in our hearts. This is the most important. A few months ago, Mrs. Bongnim Lee advised us to prepare for the church's anniversary with fasting. So I did 3-day fasting. Once again, I deeply realized what the shepherd's 99% is. No matter how hard we struggle to satisfy the justice, we can do only 1%. In other words, we do only 1 out of 100. But even though we fall short of, if we have a complete trust in our shepherd, we can make use of the 99%, which means we can obtain 99 points out of 100 points. To briefly explain the 99% of the justice, the shepherd said, even those who achieve the heart of spirit are still lacking in many areas compared to those who led a life of goodness decades ago. Moreover, those who have been forgiven of the works of flesh leading to death or blasphemies against the Holy Spirit, even if they've turned back from their ways, they are still lacking in many areas. So it's an obvious fact that it's really difficult for them to conquer spiritual levels on their own. Knowing all this very well, God had our shepherd fulfill the justice on our behalf, causing him to bear tremendous sacrifice. If we truly place our trust in our shepherd, we can be united with him and be in his space, thus being changed easily by the spiritual help. This is the 99% of the justice in the shepherd's space. Even I, who have come into spirit, and other men of spirit, still have deficiencies and shortcomings in words and behaviors. But Father God looked at their trust in the shepherd and awarded them 99 points, acknowledging them as men of spirit. So you shouldn't judge their hearts by their appearance. The same goes for men and women of spirit themselves. Because they've come into spirit by the shepherd's 99% of the justice, they should always keep this grace in mind and never become arrogant or self-conceited. If God takes away the 99% of the justice, we are nothing. Only 1% remains. No matter how much we make efforts and fulfill the 1% for which we are responsible, if we fall short of trust in the shepherd, thereby getting only 50% of his justice, our score will only total up to 51 points, so we can never achieve a heart of spirit. Amidst the rapid flow of spirit, what pleases Father God most is our desire to pay back the shepherd's grace by deeply realizing the shepherd's love and trusting him. I'm sure none of those who've achieved a heart of spirit or whole spirit think they've achieved it on their own. As they deeply realized the shepherd's love and made utmost efforts to repay his grace, God brought them into the shepherd's space and blessed them to change quickly by riding on the flow of spirit. If they hadn't known the shepherd and the spiritual realm, or even if they had known the spiritual realm without strength and grace provided, we would never have reached the level of spirit, let alone the level of a whole spirit. Brothers and sisters, I think you remember Elder Nakong Lim's touching testimony where his measure of faith rose by 30% in just 13 days, thereby coming into spirit. When he was at 70% of the third level of faith, he confesses he realized from the depths of his heart that he had nothing but the shepherd. So he had a longing heart to be united with the shepherd. Even when he woke up in the morning or went to bed at night, he thought of the shepherd while at work as the head of his company. He considered the shepherd as the real CEO and always meditated on what the shepherd would do in each situation. He tried to do things with the heart of the shepherd. Also, always thinking upon the shepherd's sacrifice, he thought the shepherd's sacrifice was on account of him and prayed that he could surely pay back his grace. He always kept such an earnestly praying heart. As he spent 13 days like this, he felt his heart becoming generous and peaceful like the shepherd. And totally unexpectedly, he was notified that he'd received a measure of faith and found his measure of faith at 1% of the fourth level. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, there's no doubt that he particularly fulfilled the justice by offering great financial help to the shepherd. No matter how much he had fulfilled the justice on his part, if he hadn't trusted the shepherd and thus got into the shepherd's space, he would never have made such rapid growth of faith in just 13 days. Once we make up our mind and make efforts, we can feel the shepherd's love anytime. While we enjoy our meal, if we think about how our shepherd must be eating, we can picture him eating just to get energy on our account, although he doesn't feel any tastes. Even while working, if we can think about what the shepherd must be doing now, we can imagine him rejoicing and giving thanks for the members who've grown in faith and received the blessing. But at the same time, we can imagine him shedding tears, hovering those stagnant in spiritual change or undergoing trials, as with the heart of a parent. No matter how hard our day has been, we can recover from fatigue by having a good sleep at night. But our shepherd can't sleep properly with mourning for the souls and convulsion. Before we go to bed, if we imagine our shepherd struggling each night, we can't help but shed tears by his love. Every time we feel the shepherd's love from the depths of our heart, we can't but become more earnest to repay the shepherd's grace. In doing so, we can be brought into the shepherd's space and thus be provided with great spiritual strength by which we can quickly cast off sins and evil, which is not possible on our own. Also, we can guard ourselves against any kinds of temptations by the shepherd's love. I myself went through such an experience in which I developed stronger longing for spirit when I while I was visiting a senior deaconess, I heard about how the shepherd was doing. At that time, our shepherd was suffering from severe itchiness to the point where he couldn't sleep all night, tossing and turning on his bed in suffering. I myself had been undergoing a trial of itchiness for a year, so I knew the suffering of itchiness to some extent. But at least I could fall asleep after midnight and didn't toss and turn on bed. It was heartbreaking to think how much he was suffering. So during the Daniel prayer meeting that night, I thought all this was to fulfill the justice on account of me, who falls short. If I failed to come into spirit, how could I even see his face? I implored in prayer, even though I lack, Father, please make me come into spirit because of the shepherd. I never prayed more earnestly, desperately with tears than I did at the time. Thereafter, I was blessed to come into spirit. Like this, the shepherd's love serves as a soil condition that improves the quality of the soil. As we deeply feel and engrave the shepherd's love in our hearts, the shepherd's good heart of love melts down our hardened and callous heart into more earnest, longing hearts. So those who have longing in the depths of their heart have a clear goal towards spirit and whole spirit. Coming into spirit and whole spirit can be compared to students entering a decent college. If students just vaguely want to study better, it is not easy to improve. But once they set a clear and specific goal, they naturally make harder efforts and achieve their goal with more ease. There is a synergistic effect. When you start out on something, as you effectively carry it out, it causes positive effects to other areas, thereby raising the effectiveness. Once the student sets a specific goal in his studies, it brings changes to his mindset, and as he begins to compete with other excellent students, he takes after them and thereby achieve much better results. Because he has a clear goal, he doesn't waver or sway in the face of temptations or trials. Those who have set a clear goal don't get discouraged by poor results. Rather, they carefully analyze why they failed in the test and turn that failure into an opportunity to improve themselves. So from now on, let me testify how I studied with God's wisdom as a 12th grader, made remarkable improvements in my grades, finally entering a medical college, which I had aimed for. Back at the time from my high school, a total of 130 students, including 10 of my classmates, went on to Seoul National University. In the early months of my 12th grade, I ranked 20th in my class, which means I couldn't even dream of entering Seoul National University or a medical school. Yet, because I read the whole Bible before the beginning of my 12th grade, I believed in God's helping me and having a clear goal of entering a medical school. Even though I failed in the test, I didn't get discouraged. While my friends hung out together after the exams, I headed for the library and checked back the exam questions which I had given wrong answers, analyzed my weak points, and tried to improve myself. I made my most efforts at each test, and I calculated how I could get better results at each test. I calculated its test results to help you understand better. Suppose I get I scored. I calculated the points scores of each subject. Anyway, so as I hoped in faith, my average scores gradually went up. In the second semester, I got perfect scores in many subjects and ranked second in my class. Back at the time, in my school district, were students of the upper class. It's the district called Gangnam, where many rich people live. Back at the time, in my school district were students of the upper class who had armed themselves with private tutoring, so there was no fluctuations among high-ranking students. And there was a student who came here from a countryside, and even though he excelled in the countryside, but in my class, he was not good at his studies. My improvement astonished my teachers as well as students. And I became recognized amongst teachers. I'm not saying this to brag that I studied well, because I'd finished reading the whole Bible before starting off my 12th year. God was pleased, so once I sat at my desk, God enabled me to study for as long as 7 to 8 hours with concentration. This is undeniable grace from Father God. But I myself also eagerly longed to enter a medical school, so I set a clear goal and made steadfast efforts. Even when I failed in the tests, I tried to find out my shortcomings and resolve them. As I continually endeavored with faith and with a challenging spirit, I could finally go on to a medical school. Beloved students, do you want to study excellent students? But if you focus on other things, you can study well. This can be applied to us riding on the rapid flow of the Holy Spirit. Rather than vaguely aiming for Spirit, we should set a clear and specific goal of coming into Spirit and coming forth as the shepherd's fruit. Whenever we have our measure of faith checked, we have to do our best, looking towards our goal with faith. Even though you fail to receive your measure of faith, rather than being disappointed, you should carefully look back at yourself, discover your shortcomings, and change yourself. Only then can you find yourself changing quickly. But there's something we should be careful. People say, the world is what you make of it, and heaven helps those who help themselves. We've learned that coming into Spirit is not in the genes. Only when we make up our mind and set a clear goal for Spirit and run earnestly towards it, only then can God can help us. If we negatively think like this, Pastor Sujin Lee preached, "It shall be done for you as you have believed." So the Bible says, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." God can't do anything for you because the Bible says like that if you have negative thoughts. And everyone, you want to enter New Jerusalem with our shepherd? All of you, right? You just answer loudly with amen. But when I visit church members, they all confess the same. But if I ask them again, are you confident that you will go into Spirit? But they say no. So, what's the reason? Because you still don't have a clear goal of Spirit. Therefore, if we place complete trust in our shepherd and solidify our resolve to pay back his grace and love, Father God will bring us into the shepherd's space, help us with the original light and voice, enabling us to change into the shepherd's fruit. Particularly, this year, Father God has given us the fruits of the shepherd as the fourth prayer title. This means that this year shall be the year God will reap a countless amount of fruit because of the shepherd's sacrifice. Do you believe this? Whoever makes up his mind and develops longing truly from the heart can come forth as the shepherd's fruit. So let me conclude the message. To achieve a perfect longing in our heart, our goal should be spirit and whole spirit. As Father God told us in His prophetic words, our purpose should be spirit and whole spirit, but not the title or measure of faith itself. And then we have to perfect goodness. I hope
and
Second Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1, as you I have taken after Christ, you should become imitators of me. So if you truly long for goodness, a perfect goodness, moreover, we have to long for the shepherd's goodness who resembles Father God and the Lord. If we don't resemble our shepherd, as we try to resemble our shepherd, we can discover our evil attributes in light of the shepherd's goodness. And as we become more earnest to take after his goodness, and as we have put our trust in the shepherd, we can be helped by the 99% of justice and can be changed quickly. And Father God once told me in his prophetic words, what holds me back from coming to spirit is my fleshly thoughts. As I told you earlier, at one Daniel prayer meeting, I really felt strongly of Father God's shepherd's grace and love and shed a lot of tears. But so I couldn't understand Father God's prophetic words that I don't realize His love. But later on, I discovered my lacking points, lacking aspects. I failed to understand others, figure out others. And I realized how evil I was. As I tried to realize the shepherd's goodness from my heart, I began to change my frameworks into shepherd's goodness. As I treat them with such goodness and try to understand them, I was able to have mercy on them and understand their situation. For example, I used to have ill feelings. As I thought how our shepherd would do in that situation, and then I also wanted to do so, and thereby casting off my great fleshly thoughts, and as a result, I could raise my measure of faith by so much. I hope you long for such goodness and spirit, and thereby overflow with blessings. To achieve a perfect longing from the heart, first you have to look back whether you have longing. Second, you have to let go of yourself completely. You have to cast off your pride, arrogance, your self-righteousness and frameworks, and resolutely throw them away. Thirdly and lastly, as you engrave the shepherd's love deep in your hearts, you will have a desire to pay back his grace, and your longing will become perfect as well. Only then can you set a clear goal of spirit and the whole spirit, not waver in any tests or temptations, fix our shortcomings, and conquer spiritual levels, thereby achieving our goal of spirit and whole spirit. I hope you quickly achieve such perfect goodness, as you conquer spiritual levels quickly and reach a deep level of whole spirit. I pray in the Lord's name that all of us can make it. Let's reflect on today's message and pray together.
오히려 중심의 사모함이라는 말씀을 통해서 우리가 어떤 마음에서 사모해야 되는지 먼저 내가 사모한다는 그 나 열심을 찾고 있던 모든 것들을 발견해서 우리의 마음을 바꿔나가기를 원합니다. 또한 아버지여 내가 진정을 사모한다면 나의 모든 것들을 철저히 내놓고 깨뜨리기를 원합니다. 더 나아가서 목자의 그 아버지 깊은 성과 사랑의 마음을 마음 깊이 느끼며 새겨나가므로 인해서 목자의 내 보다 퍼진 뜨거운 마음이 우리 마음에도 충만해지므로 저 진정 뭐 영을 사모하는 마음이 더 승해져서 목자 아름다운 연대가 될 수 있는 우리 모두가 되게 도와주옵소서. 아버지 목자의 마음은 선의 마음입니다. 주님의 아버지의 선을 온전히 닮으신 목자를 그 선을 사모함으로 목자의 99%의 공을 힘입어 신속히 변화되므로 목자의 아름다운 열매들 선한 열매들 다 맺혀가서 우리가 되게 하시고 영광으로 모두가 될 수 있도록 축복해 주옵소서. 감사를 드리며 우리 주 예수 그리스도 이름으로 기도하옵나이다. 아멘.
영상을 통한 당회장님의 환자
기도를 We will receive the senior pastor's prayer for the sick. If you have any sick parts, please lay your hands on the sick parts. If you don't have any sick parts, please receive your lay your hands on your chest and receive prayer with your heart wish. Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father, please lay your hands on all the viewers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from the heart. Drive away negative thoughts and doubts and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, and tissues and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses and infirmities go away, light come. Please scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All newly discovered diseases, including swine flu, go away, be cleansed. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headaches, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. All the heat and burning sensation go away. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves and tissues and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessings of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places and their servants, go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them all from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God, and receive His answers and blessings. Father God, thank You. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.